Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell with Randy Mack as we're rolling into hour number two on the first day of the tournament. I know they got the first four and all that, but, you know, the tournament
in earnest. The play-in game, Mike.
It's on, baby, and we got our first upsets today. We'll get to an NFL blitz in just a second. The Falcons have made a move, and it's got some people going, yeah, and got me and Randy going, wow.
Huh?
But real quick, if you're just tuning in, Minnesota takes down Louisville, a 10 over a 7. Chris Mack, no joy for Louisville in his first year. He's had a lot of success with Xavier. And a lot of people are wondering, could Tony Benford, the interim coach, as Will Wade, of course, was got the heave-ho from LSU over the FBI wiretaps, but they go on to beat Yale. Some people were saying, Jeff Schultz, that they shouldn't even be in the tournament. But LSU advances, my brother.
Hold on, why are you throwing Schultz under the bus? You said you agreed with him.
No recollection of that. Okay. Also, guys, you've got more action. Auburn is going to grind right now, and you've got New Mexico State, although Auburn is now up 8 with 13 left.
Yes, I do have New Mexico State in there. So right now I'm on the verge of just ripping this piece of paper up.
Halftime, it's Vermont and Florida State tied at 27, so they better start using some of that athleticism, Knowles. That'll be otherwise another upset. But right now the only big one, and it is a big one, Louisville number 7 is out. All right, guys, let's hit an NFL blitz because we got some Falcons stuff to get to.
Hey, welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz. Dukes and Bell.
All right, Randy, the Falcons on their Twitter page say that Justin Hardy is coming back on a one-year deal. Why?
You got to ask the front office and those people why. But I guess familiarity with the system, they don't have a lot of depth at the wide receiver spot right now, so possibly a guy that can just take some reps off. You don't know what's going to be Julio Jones' situation without the contract. Is he going to show up to OTAs and you guys get all bent out of shape again? Or is he going to...
As long as we get touchdowns in the first 7 weeks, Randy.
Oh, my. The man had
and I think we will with Dirk
Cutter. The man had an amazing season. Just stop.
He's going to need those first 7 weeks to get touchdowns.
You can't undercut a twist what he did last year.
I can. I'm a talk radio host. I can do all day.
You can't do it. You can keep trying to whine about some little... How did the season end?
I know you were blocking tight end. You ever go 7 weeks without a touchdown?
No.
Answer that. Anyway, it is Randy Mack in for Carl today in the NFL Blitz. And here's the thing with Justin Hardy. It's nothing against the guy. Guys, it's not personal. This is business. I'm just saying, what does he do? He's the human fair catch. We're the 24th worst team. We're tied for 24th as far as yards on punt returns. We never make punt returns part of anything over the last few years. Haven't had a real burner at that position since Devin Hester. Roberts didn't pan out. Was that the guy we got from the Lions?
Yeah. Redskins. I think he came over from Redskins.
Wherever he had better success when he was a Lion. But yeah, we just don't have it. We don't really create anything in that position.
Did you see him last year with the Jets?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, that's part
of the reason why Keith Armstrong's gone as a special teams coach.
Yeah, but I don't see the use for him other than, like I said, if Julio's not showing up or they just have a comfort level because he is one of the best fair catchers in the league, Mike. So I guess that says a lot.
I mean, if you want to say that, okay, he knows the system and he's, and obviously Dirk Cutter said, we can keep him, we can use him. It's just to me, I'd rather see a fresh set of hands at that position, okay? I know they moved on from Hall. Marvin Hall went and signed with the Bears. Marvin, again, he's inconsistent with dropping. He had some home run balls for Matt Ryan, but I'd have rather kept Marvin Hall than go another year with Justin Hardy.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't see the reason behind it outside. They're comfortable with him. And he could be just used as an extra body just in case. Because Julio, when he does show up, if he does show up for OTA, he's not going to do anything but sit around.
Look, I understand you got to have backups. Yeah. I'm just saying we can also go and draft one. It'll be cheaper.
And who says they're not going to draft one? You know what I'm saying? And then he signed a one-year deal. So he's somewhere maybe a one-year 600, 700, somewhere in that area. I don't think he's making a mil or nothing like that.
Hey, Mecole Hardman, how'd you like to be a Falcon?
Yeah. Oh, it's good. They need a specialist. And I think I can fill those roles. I think it'll be a good spot. So it's definitely in Georgia and like my backyard. So it's fun. So definitely seeing them out here, in full effect and trying to work me out, especially in special teams. So it's fun. We'll see how it goes. Even if they get me, they don't. But it'll be nice. So
Yeah, why not?
Yes, please.
I love that. Yes, please.
And again, guys, it just if you're happy with Justin Hardy, so be it. I want to get more out of a position that for some teams actually is something in punt return. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just telling you. Somebody told me that I didn't know nothing about Justin Hardy because Julio and Mohamed Sanu said he had the best hands on the team. Good for him. He can catch the ball off the jugs. Good for him. No.
But they're taking care of their little brother. That's all that is.
Know, of course you got to come to the aid of your teammates. I get it. I've been there, done that. But
right.
Come on, you get a Miko Hardman in here because he can do the same thing that Marvin Hall does. And as fast as Marvin is, you think he Miko fast?
Miko Hardman.
Miko.
Now, other teams are going to look at Miko Hardman, but that's a guy, guys, later in the draft that, you know, keep it in mind. Again, if Justin Hardy is simply a body, a squid set, perhaps as just a roster piece, and he may not be here, okay. It's just that's not compelling.
Right.
That's not moving the needle with anyone, and nor should it, okay, when it comes to the Falcons. Hey, it's the NFL Blitz here on Dukes and Bell with Randy Mack. Interesting story from the Wall Street Journal that posted, and you'll have to get the subscription until somebody is nice enough to read the whole thing and post it. But from what I read, broad strokes, NFL paid under $10 million to settle the Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid grievance. A lot of people, including people in the Kaepernick camp when this went down, said that it was a $60 million settlement. And apparently the Wall Street Journal says it's not even close to that.
Well, I don't remember anybody from his camp actually saying it was $60 million, but I do know a lot of reporters who do support Cap said that it was somewhere around that area. I never really knew or was going to speculate how much it was, but because of the quote-unquote confidentiality thing.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, he got something out of it. It's not as much as you thought it was going to be, but it's in the millions. But you know,
I mean, just the thing is, it just changes the argument.
It changes the argument. You're right about that. But at the same time, he got this money, and he can just move on from that. Can move on now.
Right. But when we had the conversation, we were always saying, look, if the NFL was willing to come with that heavy a check, then obviously they felt they were going to be compromised in
Obviously, it was something more than that, though, because, I mean, $100 million to the NFL owners ain't nothing.
No, but I'm
really
saying, but my
but
feeling
now,
was
that way.
Yeah, but if you, my feeling was, if you were that close to getting to three digits, getting to $100 million,
right,
then why don't you just go for the gusto and take it to court? Put the guys' names out there on the record if guys were throwing stuff out there that would be very embarrassing to the NFL,
well, maybe
and still make your money.
Well, maybe he didn't have all the evidence.
Well, that's
what
that's
you know what I'm saying.
This,
but it's going to come out different ways. If you didn't like Colin Kaepernick, you're going to go this way. And if you support him, you're going to stay that way. So I mean,
I just want to know who was out there throwing some stuff out there about Colin Kaepernick amongst personnel, people, and owners. We'll never know. But now we also know that Kaepernick wasn't so sure he'd win this case.
That could be the thing right there. You're not sure you're going to win, or the owners came to you with this offer, and maybe that was as high as they were going to go.
Hey, man, NFL Blitz continues. Niners, according to John Lynch, said the 49ers were addressing free agency. They're going to draft a BPA. Best possible athlete? Best player available? What do you use these? Does Carl understand when you do this crap?
Yeah, I'm not trying to be a jerk.
I didn't know BPA. I literally was like, BPA. I was like,
it's kind of a
bacon,
well-known
potato, and I.
It's kind of a well-known term.
Not me.
I just
figured out what WAR stands for in baseball. I don't know these things.
I mean, Mike, you're learning on the fly, Mike. I mean, you never
I'm
stop growing.
I'm
reading never
this.
Stop growing.
By the way, I don't have my glasses today because I didn't know I was running point. So I'm like literally, Randy, with my short little T-Rex arms. Look at this, Randy, trying to hold this thing out so I can read it. I'm like, John Lynch says 49ers BPA. So best player available.
Yeah, best player available.
Okay.
What's there right now, when you talk about the needs on their squad, they need another wide receiver. There's nobody high enough. There's nobody good enough at two to take right there. They need corners. I don't think there's a player there at a two. So just take the best player available. I mean, you look at their defensive line. They went and got my boy from Kansas City, D4.
Yep,
went
D4 got
him,
they
gave
picked
him a whole
up,
bunch
yep.
of money. They got a guy, DeForest Buckner, who is a straight animal on the D-line. They drafted Solomon Thomas 2 years ago out of Stanford. Duke got what? 4 sacks in 2 years. So, obviously, they need some help right there.
Also, I mean, I think he wants another athletic wide receiver, don't you
but,
think?
Yeah, but at two, there's nobody there when they're going to pick. You don't pick.
I mean, that's second round. That's later. But, yeah. First round, it's Bosa, and that segues nicely into Ohio State's Pro Day, where Nick Bosa didn't participate because people in the Nick Bosa camp said it wasn't important.
He's right. That's why he did everything at the combine. It was great because it was the first time we've seen him since he left Ohio State with that injury. But, yeah, I mean – what? I know that I'm going to be one, two, or three. That's a given right now. So why do I need to come back out and work out again? Y'all saw what I can do up there in Indianapolis.
Right. No, I'm not. I'm just saying some people thought he might do some stuff. No reason in that. He had about 4 games under his belt before, obviously, he had the core injury and had to get out of there.
Watch the tape.
I mean, what you've seen of him in Ohio State, you think better, equal to his bro?
I think at Ohio State, I think he's better than his brother. But I think Joey Bosa, he's an animal. Because his thing is, Mark, his leverage, right. And he's just relentless when he gets after the passer.
Yeah, I know that when we talked about it, like whenever we get things wrong, we'll own it. When Bosa was coming out, I was like, boy, I'm not sure if this is going to be the thing. And uh-huh. See him throwing bodies around. He's an athlete.
He's a rough rider.
He can
now.
Do it. As Chuck Smith always says, one thing you use speed, but it's another thing you use your athleticism and power and push guys around.
He's rough out there, man. You got him matched up with Ingram, Melvin Ingram out there in Los Angeles. I mean, he can ball. And it was unfortunate that he got hurt and he missed a lot of this year, or else he would have been a guy, 15-sack type guy.
Le'Veon Bell going to the Jets. And you and I hadn't worked in a while as Randy's filling in for Carl today. Good landing spot. At the end of the day, he does not recoup the $14.5 million he gets from the franchise tag. He makes about as much as Earl Thomas does on his deal.
Well, there was no way he's going to make up $14 million that he didn't get. He can't make that. No, he can't make it up. But, he didn't have it.
So at the end of the day, saving the wear and tear, was it worth it?
To him, it was. That's all that matters, right?
What do you think?
It don't matter what I think.
What do you think?
It don't matter.
You were the player advocate. Was it worth losing $14 million?
All he worried about, to me, it would have been worth it. But to him, obviously not, because he sat out. And, you know, whoever you want to talk to, he got the most guaranteed money ever for a running back. I mean, I think a lot of people need to slow their roll. The man got $35 million.
It's not as good as Todd Gurley's contract.
Yes, it is. What I say, don't look at the years for average, Mike. Look at the guarantees and how it slotted throughout the years, Mike.
Squidbill's going to look it up right now. Not that I don't trust you, Randy. It's the NFL Blitz here on Dukes and Bell with Randy Mack in here. The Bills want fans to be able to gamble in stadium. Yes,
yes.
Please. This is all part of, guys, the Supreme Court's ruling that we can now have sports gambling. I wish we'd have a plan here in Atlanta. I wish we'd have a plan here in the state of Georgia. But, of course, we're slow rolling it. But, I mean, wouldn't that be something to have a kiosk for you degenerates out there? Or even just to go on your phone. Next play will be a throw, a run.
You would never watch the game, Mike.
Turnover.
Mike, you never watch the game.
Bet the coin flip, heads. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's a million ways you could lose money in a Falcons game.
I like how you said the degenerate gamblers. Because you know there's no smoking. In the arena, could you see it be smoking like a casino in there? Because guys are getting stretched out. They got their mortgage on the line. On this next first down
right.
or something.
Look, and that's always been our argument about gambling. People say it destroys lives. Well, people's lives are pretty screwed up to begin with.
Yeah, it is.
But as far as the gambling here in town, I'd love to have that thing. When are we ever going to get something cooking here where we can do this and be a part of what other people in the country are? And more importantly, for the knuckleheads under the gold dome, tax revenue. Money you could make here in the state on this.
They're not looking at it that way, Mike.
Of course not.
They're looking at the crime that might happen and the people that might bring. Yeah. That's all they're thinking about right there, Mike.
Yeah, the casino. Well, it ruins neighborhoods. Well, you put in a crappy neighborhood like downtown by Underground Atlanta. It's already ruined. What do you care?
It's coming up, Mike.
Yeah, I bet it is. I'll get you a new burner phone next time I'm down there for jury duty.
It's coming up. They got some ideas of what to do down there.
Hey, man, if you're just tuning in, the Falcons do go and re-sign Justin Hardy. We have a lot of people hitting us up on the text line. And again, the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, same number to use to call in at 404-741-0929. And you guys can reach us as well on Twitter. A lot of guys are saying, look, the dude is a solid piece. Guy says that look, the team has to have backups, and he's a good one, says Josh.
Thanks, Josh.
I mean, Randy, We talked about it for guys that missed the beginning of the blitz. You've said it. He's good, but there's nothing special.
What's special about
waving
him?
His right arm.
Yeah, what's good about
fair
it?
Catch.
I mean, yeah, and I'm not going to take anything away. He's made plays, but I'm talking about if you could upgrade that position, do you trust Hardy if he has to come in and be your third receiver
no.
or your fourth receiver?
No.
No.
Now, a lot of people keep talking about, and I don't like this one bit, that Mohamed Sanu might be a late cap casualty.
There's no reason to cut Mohamed Sanu.
And so, guys, stop with that stuff. He's also a fantastic run pass. A pass receiver that's also a great run blocker in the run game, provided we could get the run game on track this year.
He was your best short yardage back too. Remember that?
Well, now that Cutter's here, how do you see these going back to what we had back in 2012? What do you think this offense looks like?
Well, I mean, Mike, I know you're a big guy who talks about the zone blocking. Mm-hmm. It's still going to be that. That's still going to be the base of the run game. But now with Dirk Cutter and with Mike Mularkin, you're going to see different blocking schemes. That's why you go out and get these two big guys at the guard position. They're not all pros or nothing like that, but what they are, they're an upgrade of what you had, and what they do is that they move people, Mike. And I think that's one of the things where when you talk about short yardage, you got to move the guy in front of you, and they didn't get a lot of push last year.
Right. The run game, the ability to get the short yardage, to put the games away, Randy, that's the other thing. You know, they're able to run the football. I know this is kind of a $64,000 question. I'll just throw it at you. You have any kind of gut feeling about what Devontae is going to look like this year?
I don't, man. And that's one thing that we talk about. You know, the most important player on this team is Matt Ryan. We know that. and probably the second or third most, you know, important player is Devontae Freeman, because they got to find a way to run that football and keep that balance, and he is so important. And his health, I mean, you look at his price tag, and I don't like to be in another man's pocket, but
yeah,
you know, that's the first thing you think about is him hurt and how much money he's making. So I expect big things from Devontae, but I don't know.
Russell Okung was on Twitter. He had written, I guess, a blog about how it's not fair that, you know, the guaranteed money is the only thing the players make. And look, we always lobby for more money. I hit him back on Twitter. I said, dude, you guys signed a lousy deal.
Dude, I was there. I was going through it with the whole lockout and everything. And I still remember the day that, you know, I was over here when I had my condo right over here at Atlantic Station. Mm-hmm. Remember being there. And we get the word down that the strike's coming to an end, and we're like, okay, what happened, and what do we have to give up? And we're like, hold on, what?
You got no more two-a-days.
Hold on, wow, no more two-a-days? Great. Well, but what else did we give up? And then you're just like, okay.
Right, and that's the question. Although I would imagine now after the owners see how the Antonio Brown thing played out, and even Le'Veon Bell, that they're going to want some. I know you could always argue the owners have got all the high ground, but they're going to want something back in this next CBA.
And it's not even about want some back. The players have got to be willing to give something up, and that's money. If you want to get what you want to get, because it's hard to say we can outweight a billionaire.
Right.
But, it, you know, sometimes when that money ain't coming in, that revenue from the football, because the players aren't there, then you'll see. But, hey, it was crazy, Mike, probably a week or so before the lockout ended that year. And, like, it was to a point where you talk to the player rep and he's like, y'all have got to stay together. And then it just got to a point where that year, the following year, before the year, save your money, save your money, save your money. When them checks stop coming,
right,
it really lets you know, I mean, how dedicated you are to a cause.
The highest paid guys at the time in 1987 started crossing the picket line, like Lawrence Taylor in New York. People don't realize, look, I can't point fingers because I'm so fiscally irresponsible. I spend like a drunken sailor, and I would too if I was a millionaire. By the way, guys, the CBA, when that does go down, I'm telling you, I think it's going to be I think we're going to miss the 21 season. I think this thing's going to be off the rails.
It's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly. But are the players willing?
I'll ask you later in the show. I'll save that as a tease. If we threw something like weed on, like a carrot on a stick, would that get the players to the table? We'll talk about that coming up. Hey guys, join the game this Friday from 10 to 2 as the midday show. Andy Bunker and BMAC Brian McFadden broadcasting live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, right off of Barrett Parkway. Stop by Twin Peaks Friday for lunch. Hang out with Andy and Brian. Say hi. Plus, enter for the chance to win Hawks Pacers tickets for Fan Appreciation Night on April 10th, courtesy of 92.9 The Game. We'll come back, guys. A lot of stuff going down with the Braves. A lot of pitchers that they're really counting on to have it together. What does one of the best baseball guys around, John Heyman, have to say from MLB Network? He joins us next. It is Dukes and Bell. Randy Mack is filling in for us. We got Mike Conti's, in case you missed it, on the way. And the Dogs, what were they looking like at Pro Day yesterday? It's all coming up. Maybe Mecole Hardman will look good in a Falcon uniform. You heard from Mike Conti. Justin Hardy may hold on to that job, or maybe just a body for practice. We'll find out more about that with the Falcons report as well. Yesterday, though, we're talking some baseball. Bad outing today, by the way, for Kyle Wright down in spring training, which further begs the question, what is this Braves starting rotation going to look like? We talked to John Heyman yesterday from MLB Network and also our sister station, WFAN, up in New York. First thing we asked him was, of course, the big story. What about that Mike Trout contract?
You know, I thought that was about right. I was a little surprised that they got the deal done. It had been so quiet, and all of a sudden it's basically done. You know, I think that's fair. He had 2 years to go. He gets the biggest contract, $360 million added. It actually comes out to $426.5 million, I'm told, but $430 million is a good estimate. He's deserving to be the highest paid player in the game, and he is. If he had played it out, become a free agent in 2 years, I'm sure he probably could have gotten more. Maybe set the stage for some of these other guys to get more, but he liked it there, and nothing wrong with that. So he is an angel for quite a long time, 12 years.
It is John Heyman from MLB Network. And again, guys, you can read him and follow him on Twitter, get all your breaking baseball news. It's funny because we've got Ronald Acuna, and someday we might be looking at that same kind of contract and the way Liberty is throwing money around. Not sure. What do you make of what the White Sox did with their super prospect Jimenez today?
Yeah, I mean, I think the White Sox had been kind of, I think, signaling that they were trying to do something for a while with Jimenez. I don't think they wanted to do the manipulation of the service time, and I give them credit. They didn't do that with Kopech either, the pitcher. They got burned on that a little bit because Kopech now needed Tommy John, so he's got a year and a half service time. So I give them credit for locking up Eloy Jimenez. very talented, very, very talented hitter. And, you know, it really helps the White Sox because it was a rough offseason. And let's face it, they tried for Machado. I think under the radar, they tried for Harper at the end a little bit. They were keeping that quiet. It didn't quite work out. I think they understood they were a long shot there. And at least they got some really great news to get Jimenez. And, of course, we've never seen it in the major leagues, but all the scouts say that this is a blue-chip guy.
It's John Heyman joining us here on Dukes and Bell, guys, talking some MLB. Brave season right around the corner. One of the guys we talked about last time we had you on was Craig Kimbrell. And I said, boy, sure would like to have that guy, John. And you said, listen, the Braves' payroll is way under what was expected, but yet they've not gone out and spent any more money. And then today you're reporting that, you know, he's in serious talks with the Brewers.
Well, that's what it appears to be. That doesn't mean it's done with the Brewers. They still have to work it out. But my understanding is that the Brewers are serious about this. They don't seem to mind these short-term deals and giving up draft choices. They've already done one with Grandal, a catcher, paid him $18.25 million for a one-year deal, a guy who struggled in the World Series 2 years in a row, and gave up a draft choice for him. So it wouldn't be as high a draft choice with Kimbrel. That could be part of the impetus, but they've done this before. They signed Kyle Loesch late, gave up a draft choice for him. They have an opportunity to be pretty darn good. I think they're the best team in that division already. Their bullpen is probably the best in baseball as it is, and you know, they're trying to diminish the relevance of their rotation, which is basically average at best. They've gotten away with it 2 years in a row. I was skeptical for two straight years about their rotation, but they've lived with it, and last year they had a fantastic finish, beat out the Cubs, and nearly made it to the World Series.
It is John Heyman with his guys on the WadeFord.com hotline from MLB and our sister station up in New York. We were talking earlier, John, about, because the Braves have got a lot of question marks with the pitching staff, we got a lot of young arms, which I guess we're all going to see, but we said maybe kick the tires on Gio Gonzalez as an innings eater. What's he got left in the tank?
You know, he's been working out in Miami on his own, and he's got a rubber arm. He's a very reliable guy. Very dependable, but at this point, some people thought his stuff had gone backward a bit. I think that's why he struggled in free agency. I think he had an opportunity early with the Blue Jays for $7 million guaranteed. Took a little bit of a risk here with the Yankees, $3 million base with $300,000, which is a lot per start. So he's going to hope that he makes an impression early and gets a decent number of starts. Obviously, Sabathia and Severino aren't going to start with the team, so he's got somewhat of an opportunity. They're suggesting they'll probably go with the kids, Herman, Sessa, at least at the start. They don't really think that he'll be ready pitching on his own, but he thinks he might be. So, you know, I think that was a good signing for the Yankees. They need a little depth in that rotation. I agree with you. I think he would have been good for the Braves, but, you know, the Braves had their big splash with Josh Donaldson, and hopefully they're saving money for a rainy day because they certainly are saving money.
Got that right.
John, we talk obviously about Trout's deal, and Machado's out west now, but the Astros are still a team, you know, in the AL, and they sign Alex Bregman to a $100 million deal. You say it's an unprecedented $10 million signing bonus. Why is that unprecedented? We don't see that in baseball?
Not for a pre-arb guy, and not for not that early in the going, where it's one shot, you get the $10 million. He was going to make $640 this year. I mean, obviously no one's setting up a collection, but that's nothing like $100 million and $10 million up front. So I think he did very well. You know, there's always going to be critics, but they basically got no discount from what I can see. Three arbitration years, which could add up to potentially $40 million or so, and then two free agent years at $30 million apiece, that's the $100 million right there. So the one thing that they do get out of this is they get to keep him 2 years in a free agency until he's about 30. So they keep him for two extra years. He goes on a free agent market a little bit later, but not really a lot of discount on the years that they did get. So I think it was a good job by Bregman to get that. I don't see how he could have turned that down. Now, that $100 million basically was offered to a bunch of guys, though, young stars. Lindor got $100 million offer. I'm not sure on the years of all these, but Seager at one point had the $100 million offer. Bogarts, I believe, had the $100 million offer. And this is the first one to bite on it. And in this case, with only 5 years, I would say that was a good deal for him.
It is John Heyman, guys, from MLB Network, MLB.com, and at WFAN up in New York, breaking it down for us. All right. Everybody's making moves in the East. The Mets do what the Mets do. Nationals loaded up a little bit. Phillies, obviously, the big splash. Braves are the defending NL East champions, John. But what are you looking at in this division? Who's going to win?
I'm going to go with the Phillies at this point. I think they had an incredible winter to get not only Harper, but Realmuto, Segura, Robertson, McCutcheon. I can't remember too many teams having a better winter than that. We'll see about Keuchel. They're one of the teams that's connected to them. If they get him, it's an all-time great winter. So with the excitement there, I'm going to kind of give them the edge. Obviously, Atlanta's got a good young team, and they won last year. And I'm a little skeptical with the all the reliance on the young pitchers and some of the little mix that we saw in spring training, but they could certainly win it, the Nats, without Harper. But they've improved in other areas, certainly with Corbin. I got a bunch of bullpen pieces. They look pretty good as well. And the Mets are talking a big game. We'll see about it. They've got good starting pitching, but I'm not sure they're going to have the defense and the run scoring ability to match up with the Phillies.
You left out Miami there.
Yeah, I forgot about them.
Well, what is Jeter doing down there? And is he catching any heat in New York with being for this style of management?
No. He'll never catch heat in New York. He might catch a tiny bit of heat in Miami, but not really. His press has been fantastic. I can remember a couple times that he was criticized, I think, when he didn't stick up for A-Rod. And he was the captain at that point. But you know what? He didn't like A-Rod. So
right.
That was that. And there was a time when he was his range was diminished for a year or two. He got back somehow. He did a great job with that. Worked hard at it, and people were getting on him a little bit about that. And then at the end, he was batting second when he didn't really warrant it, but that was really Girardi's fault. Mm. So he's got an incredible press, and he's getting a little bit of heat in Miami, no pun intended, but not too bad. But, as you know, he really doesn't love the press, and he doesn't love criticism, and that's why he started his own website, the Players Tribune, which is a sanitized version of news. It's kind of like nice news. I wouldn't say fake news. That's not fair. It's not fake, but it's nice news.
It's funny. I saw some of the Players Tribune where Russell Okung was like, how come NFL players don't get guaranteed money? I'm like, because you signed a bad contract? Hey, man, it's our man John Heyman talking some baseball here from MLB. Bring it back to the Braves, John. We got Ronald Acuna, Rookie of the Year, got all the tools, five-tool guy. Are you one of these, like, metrics guys who says, give that guy more at-bats, don't bat him cleanup, or your best player should always be the four-hitter?
Yeah, no, I bat him three or four. I give him RBI chances, and I think that's probably what they want to do, and he's kind of suggested he loves the batting leadoff, and the word is that he's willing to go and bat in the middle of that lineup, three or four. So that tells me that that's what the Braves want. We'll see how willing he is, but he seems to be a very nice young man and willing to go along with them. So I think that's the probability at this point. I don't see them bucking them, and I do believe that's where they want him. And I agree, this is a kid who could hit 40 home runs. So, we've seen some leadoff hitters at 40 home runs, Bobby Bonds, Randy Anderson did one year. Basically, if you get 40 home runs, you should be in the middle of the lineup.
By the way, as we started the conversation talking with John Heyman, baseball insider, about Mike Trout and the deal, how long does it take for them to win out there with him on the roster?
Well, so far it's taken, 7 years, top five MVP. Finish all 7 years, and they really haven't won any playoff games to this point. They had one great year, and then they got swept in the playoffs against the Royals, I believe it was. So they need pitching. They have a great guy locked up, and they're celebrating and happy about it. It's understandable. He's the best player in the game, a terrific young man, but their pitching is always a question. They've now got Heaney on the not going to start the season with the team. They got more injuries than any other team over the past few years in terms of that rotation. So I don't think it's going to be this year. I don't rule it out. They're not the Marlins. They got some shot, but and that division is not spectacular. We saw a taste of that Oakland-Seattle out in Tokyo. I think Oakland will probably be better than they showed today. It was one game, but I think all four, I'd say four teams in that division are pitching challenged, and the Angels are one of them.
John, it's always good to have you on, man. We appreciate you jumping on with us. Great insight. Follow him on Twitter, guys. It's John Heyman. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Good dude. Randy and I were just talking during the interview. It was an interview during the interview here about batting Acuna, you know, third. Freddie's third, obviously. But, you know, the guy that can get on base and do all those things. As we said with Carl, back in the day, the cleanup hitter is where you want him to be.
That's where everybody wanted to bat, was cleanup. I know when I played Little League, everybody, I want to bat cleanup, I want to bat cleanup. But, yeah, to get on the most at-bats would be a third. But I'm curious to see how they're going to do the dynamic between him and cleanup. Right. And for Belito spot.
I'm just wondering who's going to be pitching. Hey, man, we got plenty more
That's
to dive
important
into.
Thing, ain't it?
The Falcons have made a move.
Not a, young arm.
Not a big move, but a move. We'll try to explain some of that. But next, Mike Conte here to give us some shenanigans, in case you missed it.
Bell.
Just like everybody else in their offices around the city and the country, we're being less than productive. We're watching March Madness and seeing how our brackets are getting busted. Louisville went down earlier. We're watching Auburn and New Mexico State going down to the wire, Mike. And it looks like Auburn's going to have to hit some free throws here to close this one out.
Well, I mean, this is why I don't fill out brackets. Now I just enjoy the purity of what's going on in front of us because I can root for a dramatic finish. It's not like I have New Mexico State in my bracket because I don't have one. Okay, well, then you're very invested in this.
Yes.
But I think, like, I don't care who wins or loses. I would prefer to see Auburn not win.
Okay.
I am not the president of the Bruce Pearl fan club.
You're a member.
No, I'm not. If I'm a member of the Bruce Pearl fan club, then you are a fan advocate, Randy McBride. I mean, there's no way.
Nonsense.
But I think what we've seen so far today, it's been fun. About 3.5 hours of basketball. It's been fun to watch. These are the two best days of the tournament, by the way. It really goes all downhill from here. But I know we've talked about this before, and I'll mention it again. Is there a mainstream sport in America that is officiated more poorly than college basketball?
Oh, not
the absolute
garbage.
Worst of the worst of officiating. Because, first of all, we got to go to the monitor on everything now. Everything goes to the monitor. 7-5 game in the first half. Ball gets knocked out about it. Let's go to the monitor to make sure. Slow down the game to 2.5 hours or whatever.
We were just talking about this off the air, and I was saying the old days, I thought ACC refs were the worst. Now, technically, there are no conference refs. These guys just float. But there are some guys who think they are the show. You're right, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Carl Hess, Ted Valentine. What's his name? Ed Hightower. I don't think he does games. Ed Hightower used to get in the shouting matches with players.
Right.
Because, you know, it's all about him. But the showboating, like the hot sauce. In the Michigan State game, they're playing Bradley. They just got a kid for a flagrant foul because someone went up for a dunk and landed on him. They called a flagrant foul.
It's unbelievable. This is god-awful.
And again, these are supposed to be the best 32 refs this weekend.
Well, I don't know if it necessarily works that way.
I'm being given the benefit of the doubt there.
Now, I was looking down. Did Auburn miss a foul shot? It looks like
they did.
Okay, so it's 77-76. New Mexico State is out of timeout, so they're going to have to go the length of the floor in 6 seconds. But the Aggies, New Mexico State, Las Cruces, New Mexico.
A lot of people have these guys as the upset special because Auburn would be flat after the SEC championship,
Randy.
Frank,
I got them.
I'm sure Las Cruces is a great town. It's just up the road from El Paso. So New Mexico's, they need 2 to force overtime. They need 3 to win 6 seconds. So they got to go the length of the floor. Now, I could attempt to change the subject and do it in case you missed it, story, but let's see what happens first without giving the play-by-play.
Oh, he kicks it out for the 3!
Without giving the play-by-play.
What the?
Without giving the play-by-play because
which
that is
be
not
illegal.
Allowed. That is not allowed.
What is he doing? Take the layup,
Brady. Brady, you got to wait 5 seconds.
I have no idea what you're talking about because we are contractually bound to not provide a play-by-play.
All right, now, but now that this game is almost over, we can tell you.
All right, so they had.
There are rules. We must live by them, Randy.
Oh, they found the shooter.
Oh, did they?
Yes, they found the shooter.
That's
a three-point.
Did he hit his hand?
The shooter.
Holy cow, Auburn.
They called that?
Auburn.
Wow. Okay, now what did I just tell you about college basketball referees?
Auburn's defender grazes the hand of the three-point shooter.
Wow.
He will have three chances to make.
To win.
Two baskets to tie, three baskets to win.
The foul shots to win the game.
Wow.
They called that?
Yes, Mike, they called that. Oh. And Deshaun is excited in there because he's been pumping New Mexico State all day, so they better not lose.
I mean, again, just to clarify, I'm not doing a bracket, and I have
but you're pretty excited,
no rooting interest in this. But that, now we're going to go to the monitor.
Mike, please compose yourself.
Yes.
Mike's rant is brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics. From necks to toes and muscles and bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics, Mike Conte.
All right, Bo has admonished me to do a story.
He said the three of you cannot scream like ninnies on the radio.
March
Madness.
I reject that from our producers.
Thank you, Mike Conte.
Everyone in their offices across town are doing the exact same
thing. And he missed the first one.
Randy, you can't do play-by-play. We're going
to have to play-by-play. I'm going to have to turn off the monitor here if you're not going to comply with NCAA regulations, which forbids us from providing a play-by-play account.
A couple of years ago, there was a guy from St. Bonaventure had to do three free throws in the same situation and made all three.
Right.
But now, again, we can't tell you exactly what's going to happen. But Auburn fans, you might have a, tight sphincter. We could have some extra basketball here.
It might be a ball-don't-lie situation because that, I still think that was a terrible call.
Okay. It was.
Mike will now read a story. We will try not to react to this free throw.
Staying true to the purpose of this segment, as we have a do-or-die foul shot that may or may not have gone in. We will let you know. We will let you know when the game is
over. I will speak in code, War Eagle.
No, maybe not. Maybe not.
Oh, they got to go review something else.
Yeah, we're going to go to the monitor on that.
When you guys get home and you see this, you'll be going, holy shnikes, what a finish.
Yeah. Bruce Pearl, meanwhile, is about to turn into a puddle of goo on the Auburn sideline. All right, while they go to the monitor, have you seen these complaints filed to the FCC about the obscenity of the Super Bowl halftime show?
What?
No. Yeah, because remember what happened, right? It was Adam Levine and the Outkast made an appearance. Adam Levine took his shirt off.
Right.
Middle America was offended.
Really?
More than 50 complaints to the Federal Communications Commission about the obscenity.
Who are these people?
Someone commented, football should be family-friendly.
Barn-loving people, you know.
And a half-naked man is highly offensive.
You got to be kidding me, Mike.
He's not even naked. He's covered in ink. Bad tattoos, by the way, which really don't have any form or kind of symmetry.
I do not disagree with that in the least. Another comment to the Federal Communications Commission. Why must America be subjected to the disgusting display of nipples exhibited during the Super Bowl? I think that might actually be a tongue-in-cheek comment.
Oh, I hope so. I really hope so.
We don't know. These are complaints that are available in the public file.
Not really sure why God put nipples on men, but I hear you. I hear what the guy's saying. I don't want to see that either.
Well, I'm not. I'm sure we can find that out later.
What did you just say, man? Oh, what did you just say?
No, why would God put nipples on men? It serves no purpose. I mean, we don't really need them. You know what I mean?
Well, anyhow.
Just throw it out there, Randy.
Time's up.
This has been the most disjointed, but I think kind of fun and entertaining. Mike Conte's, in case you missed it.
Did they end up giving the ball to New Mexico?
I think
it should be the ball.
Should be New Mexico's ball. The ball
Auburn swatted the ball. Yeah. May have swatted the ball out of bounds. We can't give you the pictures, descriptions, and accounts.
Yeah, but you'll just have to turn on TNT and find out during this commercial break.
We'll take a quick break and we'll find out if Auburn has gacked this game or not.
It's fun to watch.
Hey, thanks, Mike Conte. He'll be back. He'll be back later in the show, Randy, with another in case you missed it. And we'll see if another game goes down to the wire. Randy's in for Carl today, guys. We got a dog report. What did Kirby have to say about his dogs are out to practice? And what does Randy think about some of the dogs' chances in the NFL?
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.